Why is it important to keep track of Michigan's population of frogs and toads?
Well, we started the survey back in 1996 when there was worldwide decline of amphibians in general, not just frogs and toads. So we thought we would see what Michigan's populations were doing. And it's important to keep a long-term survey going so that we can monitor the quality of the wetlands, because frogs and toads are very sensitive to changes and toxics and water quality in the wetlands that they live in. So they're a real good gauge on how we're doing with water quality in wetlands and amount of wetlands. They're sort of the canary in the coal mine to wetlands and water quality declining. These are really, really old species of animals that are been around in the, you know, ages when the dinosaurs were around, frogs and toads were here. So if there's something that's going on that's, you know, making their populations decline, then we really need to look at what the causes might be.
The survey, as you mentioned, has been going almost two decades now. What has been the trend so far?
Well, actually, in Michigan, we're pretty steady. The rarer ones are staying rare. The more common ones are staying common. There's some dips some years, but really they're generally staying pretty steady.
The survey is largely done by volunteers. Why is that? Why can't professional biologists go out and collect this information?
Well, time and number of biologists, basically. We don't have the time to do the surveys as like they should be done over the wide range of sites that they should be done at to really get an idea of what the populations are doing. So the volunteers can cover the whole state, and they can cover a lot more sites.
Who makes an ideal volunteer if there is such a person?
Somebody with really good hearing, basically, that's willing to go out when it's dark out, because that's when frogs are calling at their peak. They need to be able to drive, because it's a driving route. You just step out of your car and listen to frogs for 5 minutes at your different sites. And they just have to be willing to do it, you know, and be dedicated to hearing the frogs every spring.
Now, how exactly is that done? You go out to a pond or something, and you listen for a period of time for frogs. How do you take that sound that you hear and calculate how many frogs there are?
Well, you're not actually counting. You're taking what we call indices of abundance, a one, a two, or a three, or nothing, for each species that is there or might be there. We have 13 species of frogs in Michigan. There's no place in Michigan where you'll have all 13, but some of the sites in the state, you might have seven or eight, you know, species at one site. So you take your data sheet and you write down which species you're hearing at a one, a two, or a three. A one being there's one or two calling, a three being there's so many calling you can't count them, and two is somewhere in between. So there's no way to really count individuals. We're just counting presence or absence, basically, at the sites that people are listening at.
And frog calls are somewhat similar to bird calls. Each different species has
a different... Yes, they're very distinctive to species. The males only call for the same reasons as birds, to establish territories and to attract mates.
How many sites are there around the state, and are there any in southwestern Michigan?
Oh, yeah, there's a lot in southwestern Michigan. We have them in every county, at least one in every county. The populated parts of the state, such as the Southwest, of course, has more, because there's more people that want to do the routes. But I don't know how many sites. We have probably 250 routes going with, I suppose you could do the math, there's 10 sites per route that people submit data for every year.
And this data is not only used in Michigan, but used nationally and perhaps internationally?
Not so much, no. They're not so much used in the national survey. We started ours before they did, so the protocols are slightly different. So the data cannot be folded into their database, but our data is used for many graduate studies at the different universities in the state, well, out of state too, actually. Other states compare their data to Michigan's for the various species that occur in their state as well. So the data is used quite a bit.
Is there any particular reason why Michigan hasn't conformed to the national effort?
Just because I didn't want to trash the data we had already taken for all the years before they started theirs.
So to keep the state database consistent, then?
Yes, yes. It's not that different, actually. You could compare presence, absence, distribution of species with the national database, but you couldn't mesh, you couldn't add the data into their database.
When will the 18th frog and toad survey actually be conducted?
Well, it depends on weather, because frogs don't start calling till it's warmer. Different species, they have different requirements for when they wake up from hibernation. So the first species usually start in southern part of Michigan. It can be as early as mid-March to end of March, depending on how many warm days we have in a row. Some of them, they'll start calling when there's still ice on some ponds. Whereas the deeper water species generally don't call until like June, when it's been warm for quite a while. So that's why we have three times that you need to go out and listen for frogs on your route, because there's the early species that start to call very, very early, and some of them quit early, and then the species don't start calling until later in June or July in some parts of the UP.
If someone is interested in participating as a volunteer in the survey, how can they get more information?
They need
about
to
that?
Contact me. You can use the website in the news releases that have gone out, or I mean the email or my phone number, whichever. Email is probably quicker because I can email you all the documents that you need and all the instructions that you need. It's Sergeant L, it's S as in Sam, A-R-G-E-N-T-L, at Michigan.gov. This project, like many of the other non-game wildlife projects, is funded by some of the funds we get through the Wildlife Conservation License Plate, the plate with the loon on it that people purchase, and some of that money goes towards this project and other projects that are similar.